Hey, everybody, on this episode of the Timeless After Show, we're talking Season 1, Episode 7, Space Race. Find out what our team does when they see that the moon landing may not make it back to Earth. That was a terrible intro. Let's do it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Ooh, look at that.
If you're a 90s baby, you know exactly who this is.
I don't know who this is. I've never heard it.
It's Savage Garden.
Oh my gosh, that's great, guys. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Timeless After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. I promise to do better speaking words that out of my mouth for episode talking. Timeless, I'm sinking.
You have great words. You have the best
sinking
words.
This goes.
Oh, where are you?
All right. I'm leaving, everybody. Take care.
I'll sink with you.
Somebody fix this chair.
Sink with
all
you.
Right. Yay. Everybody, I'll be breaking down Season 1, Episode 7, Space Race.
Do you need a different chair?
Yes. I'm one of your host, Frank Brand. You can follow me on Twitter at Have to Go Jackie for whatever amount of time I'm still on screen.
Do you need a different chair?
We'll see.
Still on there.
I'm trying to sink with you. I'm Alexis Torres. You can find me where all shenanigans will ensue at atorres890. That's A-T-O-R-R-E-S 890. I will also be shrinking with Frank on this side of the table.
Well, I think we're okay on this side. I'm like, yeah, we're good. What's up, guys? My name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. And then Alexis and I are both still in the chat, so feel free to chat with us if you're watching this live, and if you're not, feel free to leave comments down below. We love hearing what you think about the show.
Yes, and Carrie likes to know what you think about how she looks.
No, it's fine.
Yes, okay, I won't go into it. I'm Chris Howard with a mustache tonight.
Yes.
And yes.
What?
Yes, it's Princess Bride thing because he has all that comic stuff going on in anime, and so I had to be the Dread Pirate Roberts.
Yes.
So you can reach me at Chris Howard Live on both Twitter and Instagram, or chat with us on the chat here. We're having fun.
I don't speak either. Yeah, you can. Thank you, Chris, for supporting me in my endeavor to better talk words.
I did it for this episode.
So, folks, yes, as Chris was mentioning, you can like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars, or even a 1-star review on those iTunes. We'll take any star review that you can give us there.
Also, subscribe.
4 stars, because the other stars do not work.
Oh, there you go.
5 stars. And thumbs up on the YouTube.
And thumbs up. And also hop in the chat, as Chris has mentioned. Carrie's got it. Alexis has got it as well. So share your thoughts about the series in general or this episode in particular.
Yes.
Pretty fun episode. Everybody seemed to be... It's
exciting.
Always exciting to watch a show with Alexis.
Yes.
Always.
Alexis has fun. Like, she comes and the party starts, like, the moment she's dancing.
That's not true.
It's true. She's dancing.
She's
and,
like, hands up.
To responding
like,
to everything before it happens. The moon land. Both of you two, the moon thing lands in the beginning.
And
you're
exciting.
Like, yeah.
Yes.
It's like,
deal.
We know it lands. We've lived it. It's our
still,
history.
Still cool. Hey, it's like people watching Titanic. They still want to see it. It's still exciting.
All right.
Do you guys hear me okay? I don't hear me.
I can hear you.
I hear you perfectly.
Maybe my ear volume is very quiet.
Well, as Chris mentioned.
There we are.
Your ear volume.
Yes.
The beginning of the episode begins with our astronauts landing on the moon. And you never know with Timeless because you don't know if we're seeing what we're seeing is how history unfolded or has something changed already.
Got
it. That kind of gives it a little bit of suspense. Is this moon landing going to go according to history, or has Flynn and his crew already disrupted something?
That's true. We don't know at what point they've already affected history.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but as we find out, they did not affect history at this point yet. The moon mission, they land successfully on the moon, but that's where things start to go wrong.
Now,
after that.
Y'all were going crazy the moment you saw the black woman in the...
Because that is Katherine Johnson. There is a movie coming out called Hidden Figures where there is... this obviously was the time where if you were in a job, usually if you were of color, you had to be in a different part of the building. And so, but the fact that Katherine Johnson was the woman who helped with the landing, she helped with Apollo 13. She's a mathematician. Like, literally, she can, if you give her a math problem, she can do it in her head, and it's awesome. And she's been part of NASA, like, pretty much all her life.
So she was, like, the brainiac behind the scenes.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, but there was a whole team.
But never got the real credit.
Yeah, because,
I mean, they didn't really show the other team, but that'd be too much story, probably.
No, but that's what the movie is for, which is Hidden Figures. If you want to go find out more information about that team, you can on that movie that's coming out.
We were discussing do we think when they wrote this, because they said there's a movie about her. And
yeah,
I'm
after
like,
they changed they history, could,
they
said now there's a
they
movie
They could have done
her.
Reshoots for that, maybe when they found out the movie.
I think that's cool, though, because then that really makes the show timeless.
And
boom.
I'm done.
Did you write that down? Did you think about
no.
that?
No.
I'm going to be over
here. All right.
Wow. Somebody hire her.
It's very, they're being on the spot, in the moment, and like adjusting, which is great because then that really reflects what's going on right now. Mm-hmm. So then they're not just being the passer, adjusting to the present, which is cool.
That's true. In fact, when this gets released on Blu-ray after the season wraps up, they will go back and do reshoots just to adjust anything that's happened between now and then.
I thought you were talking about our after show for a second.
That too. There's going to be reshoots
for
that.
When we release on Blu-ray.
That's right. Yep. Get ready for the Timeless After Show Blu-ray release. Oh my gosh, you can see great special features like everybody talking about me sinking. That special episode.
Are you
episode.
Doing it again there? Are you just standing?
I'm just standing, guys. Okay. Guys,
don't give it away.
Sorry.
Looked real good.
I wonder if we could somehow go back in time and change your height.
I don't know.
I'm just asking.
I think that'd be changing his parents. That's
I wouldn't mind that. So getting back to our episode
here. Timeless, right?
Yeah, this is about timeless. Not Frank's ancestors and his height issues. But speaking of ancestry, that does kind of play into this episode as well. But we also start off with Flynn, and we get to see Anthony back in action.
Mm-hmm.
They are up to talking to one of the people that was in mission control for the landing. They're talking present day, kind of getting a lot of information about what it was like on that day that they had the mission landing. And interesting, kind of, as the guy says, like, oh, in this house, I lived here, I'm going to die here. And you already just know at that moment, right. Things are not going to go
As soon as he said that, I was like, no.
Did you think he was going to die in the past then?
No.
Or right then?
No, I thought that they were going to shoot him right then. But then when they left, I was like, okay, that's weird. And then when they showed up in the past, and I was like, oh, nope, this is where you die. That sucks.
This is, totally look at that big smile as you say
no,
that.
Because it sucks.
It does.
But you have to move the plot forward, because how else were they going to get an authentic card with the magnetic strip? Like, that's huge.
Didn't he just steal it from him and not kill him?
No, but he didn't have it. He didn't have it.
They took his name badge.
No. Oh, you meant like in the past?
Yeah. In the past. They could have just like tied him up.
No, because Flynn...
That's not what they do. That's not how they roll.
Yeah, they don't care.
But I liked that Anthony was kind of like, I really didn't want to do that, but oh well, we're doing it. So.
No, you do find, I mean, Anthony, much like Rufus, is, you know, these are their heroes.
Yeah.
So you can see Anthony is starting to mess with this as such a monumental event, not just to the world, but to him as well. Certainly, he's very reluctant to kind of go.
That's interesting. Did you guys read that reluctance from him?
More upset about it than usual.
Okay.
Yeah, because I mean, just like Rufus said in this episode, this whole thing means a lot to them because of the fact that they're doing something that in their time at this point in time. Was huge for them. Like, nobody would think that you could put people on the moon, even if it was just for that specific moment, just to walk.
So that's what I miss when I tweet. Tweet for a moment.
That's why you gotta stop tweeting when you're doing the episodes, man.
Okay, and
stop it.
Do we think that the Ellis guy, is he a real guy in history? Was his name...
Which one?
One that we recognize? Ellis, the guy that was called. Probably not,
the one who
right?
died? Probably not.
I have no idea.
Yeah, well, he could have been.
Well, and if he was, it was wiped out in the timeline.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, the guy who we were talking about him, and I forgot his name, but the flat top and the vest, I think that's Kevin Costner's character, possibly, in the Hidden Figures movie.
I think it was like, it's like...
Ed Harris in Apollo 13.
Exactly. But it's funny, because I think his name is Al Harrison. Not Ed Harrison, but Al Harrison. But yeah, I think that is what I believe. I don't really know for sure.
I don't know.
Got it. Understood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we find out the plan is they want to go back and they want to use this punch tape to kind of change something.
I laughed at that.
Yes.
Yes.
It's cool
because
to see.
I've seen that up close.
And their computers have what,
in college, and I was like, what is this? Like, I thought it was just someone that was just taking a hole puncher and just, like, going through it, but it actually means a lot of stuff.
What do they say there? Our computers have 2 megabytes?
2 megabytes.
Two megabytes of...
And it takes 10 minutes to load everything up. That's fast.
Well, at least it's, like... their whole place, they have the 2 megabytes and not just like 64 kilobit kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because those computers.
They're cutting edge, guys. They're cutting edge.
64. Man. Commodore 64. There we go.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I know what you meant.
So in addition to for Anthony to go back and use the punch tape to kind of mess things up there on mission control, there's also a woman named Maria that Flynn certainly has an interest in getting to see while he's back there as well.
I love how the writers and the director and just the show in general was able to make it look like that they were going to be involved, but really that they weren't.
There was a love.
Like they made it look like that there was obviously there was love there, but
Maria and Flynn? Or no, who?
Flynn and his wife and his mother.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Cool.
So that,
just like, following. I'm like,
no, it's okay. Yeah. Like it was just like the way that their chemistry was. It kind of sent like that. He was like, yeah, I'm gonna flirt with this woman and try to get what I need. But I was like, oh no.
And he watches her as
when
she walks.
Like, ice cream truck. Behind. You following me? I'm like, oh, that's the creepiest pickup line.
But I loved that we got to see that it was trying to throw us off. But eventually, all of us were sitting there going, wait a minute, something's not right.
Yes.
Right. There's more to this story. Yes. I need to know what.
What I'm starting to enjoy in the show though is the economy of storytelling. Especially at the top, where we don't have to say we have to have all along setup about Flynn's hopped back to this date and time.
Right.
We already cut to the team already in the wardrobe department trying to figure out the right.
You know what?
Making jokes about wardrobe and position. I like that.
Yes.
Oh, so
I get to be
funny.
A secretary. It's like says the guy whose only job is gender. She's all touche.
Touche. Yeah.
Love that.
I'm trying to think, like, if somebody didn't know the show, could they come in on this episode and still get the same experience? I kind of think so, but
yeah,
I could be.
Well, there is an overall arc to the show, but they are semi one-off episodes.
Right.
Kind yeah, of. To yeah. a point. You need to know. You need to know a little bit, because if you watch this episode, you'd be like, oh, wait, what does she mean by you guys can, what about your sister? What did happen to the sister? So, like,
there's
still something. Yeah. So I would probably watch at least the first two to three episodes, and then if you want to jump around,
who
you can
jumps
go from
into
there.
Shows anyway?
Some people do that.
Oh,
some
I people can't do that.
I do that.
I don't even watch it. If it's already started, I'm like, I'll just watch it later.
I do that. I jump in.
If you can't get access to the other episodes, I was like, I'll wait.
Yeah.
It's fine.
All right, fine, guys. Yeah, be that way. All right. I'm missing out on some great TV while
Hey, come on. We've talked about people leaving in the movie theater on Box Office Breakdown, going to the bathroom or in the movie, and we were like,
how dare you? Yes.
Oh, I'll
unless
walk
it's,
out
unless
of
it's a Peter Jackson 3-hour movie.
What?
The last movie I walked out of.
No, I paid money for that.
You know what we walked out of? This is going to be terrible because everybody likes this movie, but Fantastic Beasts. I walked out of that.
Oh, you can get out now.
Okay, we'll talk after. This is way too long of a discussion.
Anyway.
Oh, wow. Rein it in.
I love Harry. Well.
So we cut to our team already at Mission Control. Rufus, I like how he's absentmindedly dumping the ashtrays while he's just watching everybody like, oh my gosh.
No, but that was a job.
And the cigars.
I know somebody's grandfather who did that. Not in NASA, but like in an office or something like that. And I was like, that's so crazy that was your job, was just throwing out cigarette butts. Like, that's crazy. I mean, that's part of the janitor's job, but like that was like his specific job.
But just to think, I mean, back at that time when smoking, the restrictions weren't with
anywhere.
The war. Yes. Like, just the cloud of smoke that filled like Mission Control.
They
like,
didn't just have cigarettes, they had cigars.
Oh, yeah, there were cigars in there. I mean, but also it was a big day, too.
That, too.
Could you imagine just smoking cigars around the office? That would be horrible.
Oh, that whole, I can't.
It's like going to Vegas and walking through the casino and you're like, I reek of cigarettes.
Oh, yeah. I feel like I have to shower after.
I just really liked Rufus's excitement seeing all his heroes in the same space. He's like, oh my gosh, guys, that's so. It was a cool way for them to give us exposition without it being like, here's exposition. It's just like, this is my hero. I like that.
And it makes sense because the fact that, like I said, like this, they built something that was going to do something that they didn't think was possible, and it was the same for these guys too.
They're doing neat stuff with Rufus's role though, like giving him a lot of meat.
I don't think any of us expected that. I'm so happy about it.
Yes.
That scene of Rufus kind of geeking out is intercut with Anthony. Doing what he needs to do over in Mission Control, where he's kind of going using the punch tape, getting the magnetic reels and everything, and doing what he needs to do to sabotage the mission.
It's so weird because the actor who plays Anthony, he plays one of my favorite characters from another TV show that he was in called Eureka, which is also a very science-y kind of show, but he's not a villain. He's this dorky Australian, like, I want to make invent things and blow things up. Like, it was just like, it was awesome seeing him, like, be excited about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So see him kind of, like, work really fast and have to pretend like nothing's happening, it's like, that reminded me of that, and it was just, it was just kind of nice, because I'm not used to seeing him as villain roles anymore, but that's usually what he plays because he has the face for it. But yeah, it was just kind of nice to see more of him in the show since it's usually in passing.
And we loved Abigail's dress and her makeup, the pink lipstick, and it looked
well. Yeah, Carrie and I were talking about the fact that they've always been on point with their wardrobe, but I felt like they really got her this time because the fact is, the secretary, you're not supposed to stand out as much, but also in the 60s, 60s, everything was about having a pale lip and more doing it with your eye makeup and stuff like that.
Though so. I did think her outfit looked very British.
It did. It did.
Cute, but very British.
Yeah, I agree.
But that could have been like, that's what's in fashion in London.
Yeah.
So they do something.
She wore that.
Just London original.
You know.
Yeah.
Well, certainly Lucy's arc through this episode is dealing a lot with the sexist nature of the people back in the 60s.
Yes.
She puts them in his place.
Oh, that was so good. Well, because that was a nice way to alter history without, like, altering history. Because, like, the other two women heard it, and maybe they'll be like, maybe I might not let him do that either.
Yeah, because they weren't. They looked shocked for like a split second, but at the same time, they're like, Yeah.
So if you haven't seen the episode yet, the guys at NASA were asking for coffee and that type of thing, and she put them in her place.
Yeah. I had a guy when I worked at Blockbuster, and he left, and he said, thanks, toots.
Oh, I hate
and I'm
that.
Like, ugh.
Who uses that
that's
word
not
anymore?
As bad as what you said you got on social media the
yeah,
other
no,
day.
It's a different one.
Yeah. that's a totally
I don't
different...
think we can even say it.
No. Please don't. Please don't.
Be careful with your comments, people. We do read them.
So, unfortunately, the plan goes, Flynn's plan and Anthony's plan goes without a hitch, and they lose communication with the mission of the astronauts
but
there on
so
the moon.
But so smart for them. I mean, again, this is not like, oh, yeah, I'm so glad they did it. It's just, it made sense for them to make a modern computer virus, bring it back to a time where computer viruses didn't even exist, and give them the ultimate, like, oh, that's crazy. And then that's why I was freaking out, was like, that's their only communication.
Yep.
Everybody who's stuck on the moon is just like, Houston?
Yeah, and they
realized.
It's just even crazy thinking about that time, essentially having a walkie-talkie to on Earth,
that's
to the moon.
That's it. You might as well have two cups on a string. Like, that is literally what they have.
It's a really long string to go to the moon.
But you know what I mean?
It's just like, it's kind of crazy of, like, that technology at that time. Like, just even now, like, thinking that you could call someone on the moon and be like, what's up?
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
No,
that,
just even just the fact that you can pick up your phone and talk to someone on the other side of the world, but you can see
with
each
no
other's face.
With
no string, no nothing. Yeah. Like there's it's in the air.
And these old computers, they had all these spinning reels.
Oh, so beautiful.
Oh my god. Yeah.
I loved looking at that.
Yeah.
That's great.
And we do find out now that if they sabotage the astronauts getting back from the moon and they end up dying there, that's going to completely change the space race.
Yeah.
The Russians kind of bow out after the Americans landed. So if that doesn't change, if that does change, they're going to start getting more invested.
So they said the Russians stopped their tests of certain ballistic missiles and stuff. Would that happen?
Yep.
So,
once Americans succeeded, they're like, meh.
All right, we're good.
Yeah.
We're good.
Forget it.
We're not going to
come back
for that
later.
Anyway.
Yes, I guess. We'll see.
So they said they could actually change the effect of the Cold War and what direction it went if we didn't put the men on the moon. You know, in Australia, they believe that there's not all of the Australians, but there's a lot of them that believe that it was fake.
There's a lot of people here.
There's people
think
here
that
think
it's
fake.
Are they really?
Yeah.
You hear it after Buzz?
No. Here in the U.S.
Yeah.
I have an uncle who's like that, and I just ignore him.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
No, guys, it was Howard Hughes filmed that whole thing in a
warehouse.
Yes, like, I always thought that was like a Hollywood like set. I've heard that's his.
They kind of they teased that on the commercial a little bit. What if the moon landing didn't happen and they were?
Oh yeah, yeah.
You kind of got a sense that it was like they were making it up in the commercial. So they kind of teased us with that.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's just a lot of people who are part of that team. It would just that seems like a lot of people to make it lie. That's my own personal opinion, especially with Katherine Johnson. Like, why bring her story up now if it was fake?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's all true, guys. I mean, in fact, even in Apollo 13, they sent Tom Hanks, Bill Paxton,
Kevin
Bacon into outer space.
Kevin Bacon went into outer space?
He did.
Yeah, that's all true, guys.
Yeah.
It's all true.
All true.
They almost didn't make it back.
Yeah. Landed in the ocean.
I don't think Kevin Bacon made it back. Yeah. I think
now we finally get a little history, a backstory on Anthony, too, especially Anthony's and Rufus's relationship.
Yes. That was very nice to hear about that.
And to find out that Anthony took the first lifeboat out there and almost didn't make it back and was laid up in the hospital for 7 months.
Yeah.
Did they explain what injuries he sustained?
No.
Nope. They
were vague.
Said, they just said that they were
the
big
hospital.
Enough to be in the hospital for that long.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think we had time, I guess.
I would
have liked a flashback.
Later, when he talks to Rufus, I still feel his explanation is so weak, and I need more.
I feel like there's going to be more, because
Anthony's going to be a part of it more, so.
They're like, you don't understand. You're not going to understand. Guess what? I'm standing right here. You can tell me.
But that's how we feel about everything anytime that they were there.
Well,
now
they did tickle us, though, with they said.
Well, if Rittenhouse gets the time machine,
you know what they want to do with it.
Yeah. I was so afraid that when they said that, and Catherine was sitting back there going, I'm sorry, what?
Time machine, what?
Yeah. Well, because it's like the time it takes them to say, you don't understand. Guess what? You could have given me one sentence explanation.
Just one.
Just give me something.
No, because then we wouldn't have like two or three more episodes after
this. Yeah, I know.
Or another season.
What would Rittenhouse do with the time machine if they got it? I mean, aren't they already in control of everything?
They can literally do anything at this point in time.
So Flynn destroying the world's better than whatever they're going to do.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly.
Maybe they were going to go back at these same exact points, maybe, and ruin the same, like, I don't know. Maybe you just want to do it first. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Rufus says, "Wait, if we're gonna make this right, because I can't fix this virus. I just don't have the skills to work with this.
With the old computer.
Yeah, this antique equipment there, which I did like tied back into what Anthony was saying, that Rufus is not going to be able to fix this because he doesn't do well under pressure,
which is so dumb." Then again, Anthony hasn't been there while Rufus was under this kind of pressure where he was left in, 17?
Even that was his big pivotal moment, I think.
Who, Anthony's?
Rufus.
Oh, Rufus.
Yeah. Being the 1754 is having to deal with all that. And they all changed. Realizing, that was a big moment. And I love that this character has finally had, an arc and is changing and is not staying the same.
Rufus has changed the most.
For sure.
Wyatt changed a lot, though. Wyatt changed a lot.
He's a little bit more trusting, but I think Rufus...
He's more trusting, but he's also stepping into his role, whereas before... he's being a leader. He's standing up. He's... going after Flynn, shooting to kill.
He's been doing that all the time. I feel like definitely
Rufus. I thought he was weaker in the beginning.
Rufus went from mousy to I shot someone and I'm okay with it.
Yeah, no, you're right. He's changed the most, but I think Wyatt's changed a lot as well.
A little bit. I can agree with that.
Yeah. Have you guys seen, speaking of Wyatt in the chat, apparently Woosie is the...
Yes, that Wyatt is. Woosie? That's the ship name.
Woosie.
See, I was thinking that Lucy might get together with Rufus, which would make
that would throw you off.
If Lucy and Rufus... I thought it would be cool. And then they show her in bed with Wyatt next episode.
We'll talk about that later.
I like Rucy.
Not that I'm upset or jealous or anything, but what's up?
While they're going to go talking to Catherine Johnson, we've got Wyatt over at Lockman and finally got talking to Maria's boss, which at least, other than him just being kind of terse with her at the beginning of the episode, is definitely not like the other, piggish men that we've been dealing with in the episode.
I love the commie thing was fun.
Oh, it was awesome.
It's a great way to...
Because everybody in that time was like, oh, what, the Russians are doing what? Yeah, okay, yeah, that makes sense. And, I loved seeing the panic because that was a thing. But I also like that there's always panic in every single era. We had Y2K, that was a thing. So, I thought that was interesting to see.
Yes.
And we see Flynn tracks down Maria at a park, but she's there with her young son.
Creepy! Yeah. Creep factor!
And there was a lot of debate amongst us, what is the actual relationship between Flynn and Maria and the little boy?
We were trying to figure it out right there in the episode, and there it is.
Maybe he's the little boy, he changed his name, but wait, why does he have an accent? And then we find out why.
Oh, yeah, that whole backstory helped out.
Yeah, because you're maybe the actor just has an accent, and that's the way it is, but then they put in the whole backstory.
No, but
it's context and depth.
I mean, they kind of have to. I feel like it was kind of cool, one, to see his mom, the fact that she's actually a really smart lady. That's awesome. Two, the fact that I like that we were able to get a little bit more of Flynn, because all we know is from what has come out of his mouth.
They humanized him.
But also I'm very upset, again, I'm sorry, Frank, if I jump ahead, but I hated the fact that they hid his file from everybody. What was the point in that?
Well, they had his file, but this—it's not the. There were things that were taken.
Yeah, it was redacted. Yeah. But it was just still would have been nice.
If you're chasing him, you should have all the info.
Yeah, because again, we could have maybe not prevented it, but we could have gone to this time frame at one point because we knew he would have saved his half brother. I don't know.
But they also showed that. As far as we know, there haven't been a lot of bad repercussions as a result of the fact that he saved him. So.
That's true. It gives
us the idea that it's possible to go back and save people.
And that's fine. Yes. I mean, even though I've argued the fact of, going back because it can ruin the timeline and things like that, I still, I'm glad that he saved his half-brother. That's fine. I would also be happy if Wyatt went to save his wife and Lucy went to figure out what happened with his sister. But you need to do this first. Find Flynn. Find out what's happening. Then you have a time machine. You can go back and
sound like Agent Christopher.
But it's true. Yeah.
No, it is very true. It's the frustrations about that. Yeah. Same thing about we got to chase Flynn right away going back to this time. Not when you're in a time machine.
Take your time.
You have all the time in the freaking world to do whatever you want. Just do this one thing first.
Well, in our timeline of thinking Flynn was the little boy, it's not totally wrong. In the chat, they were kind of like, no, he'd be really old. I'm like, well, if he was born in the 60s, he'd be 40, 50 now?
Yeah, because my mom was born in 1972.
No, he wouldn't be 40. I'm 46, and I was born in this 1970.
No, well, so you would be in his 50s.
He'd be in his 60s, would be 55.
Yeah, he'd be
I said 50s. Yeah. I went there.
Yeah. Well, you said 69. You said 60s.
Well, no. I said if you were born in the 60s, you could be the 40s to the 50s.
You said 40s to 50s, yeah.
But you could be born in 1969.
I wasn't that old.
Okay. Okay. Anyway.
Anyway, so
but my, it could be Flynn's possible age. We don't really know how old he is. Because he could play 40 to 50 years
the
old.
The actor has a great face, so he can literally act or be in that range of 40 to 50.
Yes.
Like, it's fine. He could also just look very mature for his age. I don't know.
It's 7 years later, they said?
I think so. I don't really know.
I think they said it was like 7 years later. Or even maybe three. It wasn't that much later.
No, so, 2 years later.
Only two. Yeah, okay, so he's born mid-60s to late...
No, early 70s.
When was the...
69.
This is 69.
Oh, okay, so he's early 70s, yeah.
Yeah, early so 70s. It makes sense.
So he's like younger early than me? 40s. Flynn's younger than me?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
But it's but like I said, like my mom is hitting age, I love you, Mom, 45, and she was born in 1972.
Whoa, just threw her around right under the bus.
Love you, Mom.
Because my mom looks
like she's 30. Yeah. Like, that's exactly what that is. So it doesn't matter. She could be in her 70s and she'd still, like, my grandma's 75 and she looks like she's 52.
So you got some good genes coming.
Girl, you don't even know. but yes, it doesn't matter. That actor could have played anything. So even though, sure, he could have. Thank you.
I'm thinking that too.
What does that mean?
We'll talk after.
I'm not bringing this up. So I will put my foot. But pretty much it doesn't matter. Even if let's say if that was him and he was in his 60s, it would have been fine.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been mad at it. I would have been like, okay, great. He looks really good and got great genes. High five.
It's hard to get you mad, though. You kind of roll with every.
Yes. Yeah. But Susan, you probably, I don't see your face, but you probably look just like you're in your 30s too, girl. It's all right.
No, I saw like that in the chat that apparently they were asking how old someone was for saying that someone born in the 60s would be crazy old now.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. You know
what's funny? Yeah, I have to say, they'd be older.
They'd be older.
Maria Menounos just went to her high school reunion, and I wrote, how old does that make you? I tweeted her, I'm like, how old does that make you? And she said, wicked old.
See? So it doesn't matter. I mean, and also my mom had me when she was very young. So if you do the math, I'm 26, she's 45, you figure it out. Like, that's...
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yes.
Thanks. So. Thank you. This is all for me to make me feel better, but keep going.
There you go.
Okay, moving on.
Yes, we do get a chance to have Flynn have a nice little conversation with Maria. We find out that it's about his mom, but they talk about family.
Yes.
Yes, and basically saying that Flynn just comes out and says, you know, I did lose my wife and child were murdered.
Mm-hmm.
And Maria says, you know, I would if I found out any harm was going to come to my family, I would do nothing to make sure. I wouldn't let anything stop me from getting
Yeah, that was the line.
That's
I was
a
like,
neat moment, though.
Aww,
okay.
What about his line, though, that every memory I have of you, you're always sad?
Yeah.
Well, I'm assuming
is it because he died? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the brother had died. Okay.
Well, also, can we talk about how creepy it is to see some stranger having a needle in your son?
Yes.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Too much. Yeah. Too much. But
and then you're like, it's epinephrine. And you go, okay, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
But
how convenient a bee came by. And he had an epi. Well, if he knew.
No, he did know.
He knew.
Yeah,
this was a point in time he was going to lose his half brother.
Okay, fair enough.
But it makes sense because the fact that she moved on and found somebody and then had a kid 2 years after.
But the question, too, is if her son died and then he doesn't die, though, would she still move on the same kind of way?
I know. I thought about that, too. Would she still go work for Lockman?
Yeah, would it be the same timeline for her?
Maybe
enough because Flynn's still there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he hasn't disappeared.
Yeah.
It wasn't Back to the Future where he could see through himself.
But that was kind of the thing. Yeah, it doesn't seem to have made that much of a change other than her being maybe happy. I don't know.
Yeah, that's
but,
about it.
But a cool story telling point to be able to go back in time and see your mother or anybody when they were happy. Back
yeah.
At a yeah. Way like point that, we didn't
that's
know
that's awesome, especially because she smiled quite a bit.
Yeah. Yes. She's very pretty lady.
Oh, and I think that was really a poignant moment that you mentioned a moment ago where she said, you know, I would go after to the end of the earth to see... Because then, and he says, and he looks in her eyes, and his eyes kind of water up, and he's like, I'm glad, thank you for saying that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it kind of reaffirms the path that he's on, and now he's got his mother's approval. And
it makes sense. That,
yeah.
And you see where it comes from, too, that kind of tenacity.
Yeah.
Right. You want to get the payback. So we also have Wyatt, though, watching all this from a car, and one of the cops stops him, and he pulls out his ID, and we get our little nod to the pop culture moment. There's Agent Mulder from the FBI.
I love that he picked that.
Sounds awesome. I wonder if he, when they're getting their badges, he's like, can I be Mulder, please?
And they're probably like,
yeah, sure.
Send it to the badge maker.
No, okay, we kind of joked before that we were maybe getting a little bit over them using weird fake names. But was this a good way to use a fake name without it being like, okay, I want one?
Well, I mean, it wasn't like how he used Kanye. trying to make it.
Or even
Kanye was good the way they revealed.
No, Medicine Woman.
Yeah, like the fact that
that's a bit much.
The fact that he just needed just a name. It
just make a name.
It didn't need to. The fact that he was FBI, it didn't need anything more backstory than that.
Well, because he also didn't say it. He just showed the badge, and the person says, right. "Okay, thanks, Mulder."
Yeah.
So that was a more subtle. So then we liked that better.
Yeah, because he
didn't run around. But we did say that they can't go trouncing their own names throughout history. So
yes.
Well, that's why I'm also glad that they brought back the fake names because I feel like it's going to get suspicious, and it's going to get weird.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we also have Catherine, Rufus, and Lucy. They're back there in the mission control room in the fixing everything.
Yes.
And Anthony and one of the henchmen come in, one of those dreaded henchmen. And Anthony doesn't want this machine to get fixed.
Was he a henchman or just security guard? I felt he looked
he was a henchman.
He looked like a henchman.
Oh, no,
he
was okay, then I don't mind them killing him. At first I thought he was a poor security dude.
No, he was with Anthony. They walked in together.
Oh, yeah,
he was the guy that killed our young mission control guy at the beginning of the episode. Yeah.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
All right, guys. Sorry, this is another one of those. Oh, wait, same dude? Thank you guys on Twitter for sending us photos
I'm still getting crap for that.
I know, but you know what? In our defense, you only kind of saw it. Then it just and it's one of those people in different outfits in different spaces can look totally different. Like if
the
you see
the shadows and stuff like that, really threw me off.
So we didn't know if you didn't see it. We didn't know that Lucy's father was
the guy who
with
Rittenhouse.
Yeah, we didn't know.
Did all of us know that?
No, I think there was one of us that knew the real story.
Just Frank, you were the only person.
You know what? In my defense, in working at Video Store, I had a uniform, and then someone saw me outside of that, and they totally had no idea who I was. But I'd seen them all the time. I'm like, really, guys?
When my hair is curly, people forget, and then I change it back to straight, and they're like, wait, wasn't your hair different?
I've done the Superman thing, glasses, no glasses, and people not recognize me.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
I'm like, are you kidding?
So what are you trying to say?
That it's really easy to not have that facial recognition.
So it's okay that we didn't notice it.
Yeah.
Especially
it
when I wear contacts.
Anything
yes.
about it.
I feel like there's a lot of CYA going on here in the Thomas After Show.
Okay, so, wait, good question. Meantime. Sorry, speaking of the goon, Ivan said in the chat, how many goons does Flynn have?
He has an
unlimited amount of them.
Yeah.
It's true, they die, they keep popping up.
It's like playing like a first-person shooter. Like, you just have an infinity amount.
It's like the costume room. It's like the costume room.
Yeah.
You just pull out another costume.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if he, like, brings out followers the more he goes, or maybe he took hostages and they're like,
freelance for henchmen.
It's like the old Star Trek episodes. Whenever you see the new character that shows up for the episode, you know that character's the one that's going to die.
I don't know, but I like it. I like that there's always new henchmen because there's people dying all the time. So I'm always like, where
henchman
are you coming
one,
from?
Henchman two.
Because our heroes can't die, so somebody has to get out.
You got to get those red shirts out, guys.
That's right. So Anthony, who's so sure that he knows how Rufus is going to behave in these situations, finds out that it's surprised when Rufus grabs him and holds a gun to his head and then kills the henchman.
Good for Rufus.
I still wanted Rufus to shoot him.
I wanted him to shoot him in the leg.
Yep.
Just to prove a point.
What would you have thought if Rufus just put it right in his head?
I think that would be dumb.
You think it would have been
henchman
dumb?
Henchman was an accidental
you wouldn't have bought that?
Shot. I don't think that was intentional. It was a self-defense reflex shot.
Right.
If he did the headshot, it would have been a very planned and thought thing.
Right.
So, but I think I would have shot him in the leg just for
so you wouldn't have bought it. It wouldn't have been believable to you if he did that.
I'd be surprised.
I think it would be a mistake for him to kill Anthony because they need him.
Yes.
Like, the fact that him going back to Flynn, having his right-hand man, they would be able to kind of follow in those footsteps. Mm-hmm. So if they killed him off, it would be kind of like, so what was the point of having this character in the first place?
Right.
So, but yes, I think.
I was thinking more of Rufus, like he's turning to the dark side. He's willing to.
Too dark. No, we're not ready for that.
Yep.
So Anthony does escape in the little scuffle there as a couple of the two mission control people come back in. So they escape, but they're able to get the program to work and to get rid of the virus and the moon. They're able to get our astronauts back home. Reestablish contact with them. Hooray!
Hey.
And Jean gives, I like that she gives Catherine, he gives Catherine a little sup there in the mission control.
Sup.
You did it, girl. You got our boys home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then we also have Wyatt talking to Maria at home. And then, as we talked about, we see Flynn is with young Gabriel sticking an epinephrine pen.
So creepy.
Yes.
It just freaked me out because I was like,
yeah, it didn't look like he was saving him. It looked like he was doing something nasty.
I thought he was, like, suffocating him. Like,
no,
him
I thought he was, like,
on top of him.
I thought he was stabbing him at first. And I was like, wow, timeless, we're getting really dark here. And then I realized that was a needle. And I was like, what? And then
even that, you're like, why?
I thought he was trying to take, like, a DNA sample.
I thought he was injecting him with AIDS or something. I was like, what are you doing?
There was a lot of things going through my brain.
Mm-hmm.
Epinephrine was not one of them.
And even you can see even Wyatt's done from like, what? You're saving this kid? What's going on? Mm-hmm. Even he's not sure exactly what
Flynn's
doing.
But I like that he was like, I need to put a pin in that and ask for that later.
Yeah. So our crew makes it back, and we find out finally we get the unredacted file from Flynn. The team gets to see that, and we find out that Gabriel was his half brother who died from that bee sting. But now he's going back and save his life. And Lucy's getting really irritated because Flynn, of course, can go through time, changing anything without any. He doesn't worry about it.
No consequences.
Yes.
But that's the moment where we, like, Alexis and I were talking about, you could just go back.
You can save her later.
Be patient. Just do it.
Yeah. But I do like the ending there with Lucy and Rufus, as Rufus is talking about what he's done and just wondering, like, is he not sure how he feels about these changes that he's going through.
This is the first time he's ever killed somebody. Like, that's going to resonate with you for a quite
some time. But he said it doesn't bother him. I think he's owned. I think he's bothered that he doesn't feel more
about it.
Which is something that most people will go to therapy.
I'd say a little bothered, but I think more than anything, he's also proud. You know?
But at least it's a henchman. You know,
it's a henchman.
Just saying.
Yeah, it was only henchman.
One of the bad guys. Yeah,
yeah.
It's not like he killed the random people. That is one thing. Like, this episode did humanize Flynn a bit more for us, but he still kills people randomly and doesn't care.
Yeah. Now, do you feel like? Because I mean, certainly we've seen Flynn kill lots of people, and even though we're getting to see a little bit more about him, do you feel like that balances the scales enough?
No, he's still a bad guy.
He's a human
who's going through something terrible and going through any means necessary to do it, but he's going through it the wrong way.
Would you say he's not a sociopath, but he kind of is in terms of
he's a sociopath.
Care he's getting there. About killing people. He is doing. He's fully focused on his mission and will kill anybody in his wake.
Yeah.
I'm getting to the point though. The show. I need to have that Flynn-centric episode.
I need more backstory.
Because it's just...
It's rough because we've seen episodes with him where he... Like I said, like when we were back with... was it the Spanish? No, on the Alamo, where he's like, whoa, that wasn't the plan. You don't need to kill people. There's women and children in there. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
But in this one, because his mother was in this one, it was kind of like, no.
Right.
Nothing happening here. I'm just going to kill people to get what I want.
But remember in the Alamo, we're not sure that he didn't know Lucy was in there, too.
Well, that's the thing.
If he knew Lucy was in there, he wouldn't want him killing the women and children.
I know, but he didn't even know that Lucy was in there.
But we don't know that. We don't know that for sure.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just need to have a better idea of just what Flynn's main objective is, because he's traveling.
We're never going to get that
to
until
us
the
as,
end.
To viewers, the time travel seems very haphazard. I mean, they're getting bits and pieces that they use
throughout
the point.
That's true. There's no...
But you think if the main idea is to stop Rittenhouse, and then we've talked about this many times, that you just don't go back all the way to the beginning and stop it right there from the beginning.
Well, unless she journaled these events because they were events that
were
critical events in the development of Rittenhouse.
True, but if you just go back all the way to the beginning and stop it from even getting started.
Cut it at the roots, right?
Yeah. So I feel like I need an explanation about why they don't just do that and they're doing all these different kind of...
I think, I don't know if we have time for predictions.
Well, you know what, in fact, why don't we do some predictions right now?
Yes.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Alexis, you've said it.
A little fast.
I know, happened.
I just wanted to, I also saw what the producer's writing. I think with the journal... I mean, I don't know if it's going to happen, because I would like for a season two, but I know we can't keep up this exact problem of, like, we have to, you know, get rid of Rittenhouse, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I do, in my thoughts, I feel like they didn't stop Rittenhouse, and that's why she's recording everything, because she wanted to maybe fix it later on, and maybe never got the chance to, for whatever reason, maybe health, or maybe she got what she wanted and got her sister back, and she was like, well, I don't want to forget these things, so I'm going to write them down, because we didn't finish what we started, so hopefully I can work on it later. Or, like I said, maybe something just detrimental happens, and they just couldn't get to do it, so they've just been kind of logging everything that they've been doing. I mean, now she's not going to do it, because she found it.
So you think that Rittenhouse actually went back and mess something up before all of this.
No. I just think something bad just happens to the point where they can't fix Rittenhouse. So she, for the rest of her life, she's kind of regretting
it. She scrambles to put it together.
So she's just kind of putting it together just to keep log of it. Just like if you're logging.
I dig it.
Good theory. But
I don't think that there's a rest of her life beyond... stopping Rittenhouse.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, maybe she sticks with this team for as long as she can make it through, and that's just what she has left. Is that she's literally keeping record of it, and we just never got to the end of it because of something that happened. Maybe Flynn continues this through. But like I said, if we do a season two, I don't think we will continue with Rittenhouse.
You really?
See, I think it'd be too much.
But look at the Empire and Star Wars, and look at even if you look at the Divergent movies and those movies, they have the
but
same.
But Divergent movies, there's only three movies.
But or
you can't do three seasons.
What's
of
the
this?
Mockingjay? Hunger what's Games? The girl? The Hunger Games. It's the same enemy.
Also three movies.
Yeah, but it's a lifetime for the character. It's like dog years.
It's I would hope that we find out Flint's motivation by the end of season one, and then maybe we don't defeat Rittenhouse until the into season two.
Yeah, that's fine.
But at least I would hope within our own watching right now is Flynn. We need more.
See, yeah, I would think the story would be over once Rittenhouse is gone. It's done.
Well, I think that'd be in season two, and then something else happens.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind if they decided to keep doing Rittenhouse. I just think it would get old very quickly. Mm-hmm. Me, personally.
Remember, The Mentalist went like seven seasons
that
with Red John.
That is the reason why I don't watch The Mentalist.
Yeah, yeah, but that was also frustrating to a lot of fans as well.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they did finally change it up, and they did a couple seasons where he was out of that whole mix, just under the thumb of the FBI.
But I digress. Right. That was just my prediction, is the fact that she made this book wasn't because she was trying to be Malice and trying to, like, get it into someone's hands. I feel like this is just her life project, and now she's trying to keep all the records together.
I'm hoping that we don't. It's not to the end of the season that we get the Flynn's rationale for all this. I think we need it sooner than that, because that's going to be a long season if we keep going.
Well,
but I could see the end of the season being Lucy picking up a journal and starting to document her adventures.
Will she write it differently now, knowing that she writes one?
I mean, or she might not write one at all. I have no idea.
Would she purposefully not write it?
Ivan in the chat says maybe Mason's is season two big bad. Mason would be the big bad if he decided to take over Rittenhouse.
My guess is that they're still going to keep on Rittenhouse, but they can inject smaller players with it. Flynn.
It's just like the Marvel shows. It's pretty much like we all know that Hydra is the big bad, but they changed the head of it, which is fine. Right. That's what I'm saying.
As long as they have some antagonist that's different.
I don't want to see her dad being the head of Rittenhouse every single freaking time. Right. It's gonna get boring.
It could be very much like Alias. You pull the plug on SD6, and then everything's uncovered, and then you still have the adventures trying to stop them.
Yeah.
Wow, look at that, guys. We talked about a time travel show. We did it. Guys, thanks so much for watching, folks. Thanks for hopping in the chat. Of course, you can like us on Facebook. Give us those one stars, guys. 5 stars reviews on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Like the YouTube page. Thanks so much for hopping in the chat once again. And if you want to continue the conversation with us even after the show's over, Chris,
Reach out to me at Chris Howard Live on Twitter and Instagram, and I'll see you there.
All right, and guys, you can find me online on Twitter and Instagram at Carrie D. Lane. That's KARIDLANE.
You can find me all over social media, Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff, at HHorace890. I'm trying to get my Saturdays back so you guys can play video games with me if you like. I have twitch.com/HHorace890, or just find me on PSN at ATEH890.
Ooh, you can challenge her from your own home. Right? You don't have to go out and find her on the internet.
No.
Can you charge people for that? You should set up a whole business.
I mean, maybe I would. Maybe you guys can help me fund my honeymoon.
Yeah, there you go. Look at that.
You can reach me on Twitter at HappyGoJackie. Send me tweets about how much you like Chris Howard's mustache, about any chair sitting techniques that I could adopt in the future so I don't sink. Just a lot of great stuff we can talk about online. Until next week, folks, we'll see you next Monday night here at 8 o'clock with another episode of the Timeless After Show here on AfterBuzz TV.
Bye, guys!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
From executive producers Maria Menounos,
the views expressed herein are those of the host only. Do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.